The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. You can also send us some email feedback, td@kpcg.fm. Lots to get to on today's program. We passed an anniversary of sorts yesterday. Not the COVID-19 stuff. I'll come to that in just a second with the fake president's speech last night. But March 11th, that's some history that we really do cherish in this church as we go back to 1989 and God pouring that revelation and truth into my father's mind about what was happening in the church, and what later was, of course, printed as Malachi's message, the centerpiece of this work. We'll talk about some of that, that history and some of the content that you can study in Malachi's message and in other writings that this church has produced. So Joe Biden gives his first primetime speech. I think it went for about 24 minutes. And the propaganda media, they love it. They love it. Finally, the speech that Donald Trump should have given. A speech filled with compassion and hope. Hope. We can now have hope because of this speech from the illegitimate president. Really, if you look at the content of this speech, and just he timed it 1 year on, as if we're celebrating the coronavirus pandemic that resulted in all of these left-wing radicals in these dark blue states shutting down, locking down everything. And he's referring back to that history. And they did it. They did it. And now they're the ones saying, you know, if we do this, 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 and this, we just might be able to come out by July the 4th. Hooray! Time to celebrate. We might be able to have our independence back on Independence Day. Now, that's still a few months away. And as we heard from the fake president, you've got to do this. You've got to mask up. You've got to get tested. You've got to get the vaccine. You've got to do all these things. I mean, that's where we are, basically. The way they shamed Americans into wearing the face mask, now two of them, they're going to shame you into getting the vaccine. Of course, a lot of Americans are not going to do it. Two Americas, as I've said before. But here he is preaching to his America. And what do you know? What do you know? The vaccine, that is the savior. The vaccinations, we've got to get hundreds of millions of them out there. And then the media just rushing to the microphones and the cameras, saying this was a superb effort. He hasn't taken any questions for 50 days. 24 minutes. I think there was a collective sigh of relief also that you don't hear about in the propaganda media. A sigh of relief that he just made it through the 24 minutes. Without some kind of catastrophic event or foul-up or mix-up. This was Breitbart pulled some of these comments together. Joe Biden just gave the speech that Donald Trump refused to give. That's from David Korn. All of these are members of the propaganda media. Jennifer Rubin, she's supposedly a conservative. She said a sober, sometimes poetic and hopeful speech mixed with Biden's telltale expressions of empathy and sorrow for the losses that we have suffered. See, President Trump, he didn't care. He didn't do anything, said Joe Biden. In the first line of the speech, the first line, the very first statement, the Trump administration, he doesn't mention them by name, but everyone knows what he means. They did not do anything. What was the word that he used? He said, I want to talk about where we were a year ago when the virus was met with silence. It was met with silence. Now, he's doing something. Finally, finally, you know, Fauci worked for President Trump. So last night, Joe Biden say, hey, just believe Fauci. How many times last year did we see Fauci front and center in those briefings? What, they were doing nothing? Now we're told it was met with silence. Fauci wasn't doing anything. Dr. Birx, certainly not Donald Trump. But January 20th came along. And finally, and to take credit for the vaccines. He did that too. Oh, yes. It's all packed in there in that 24-minute speech. A sober, sometimes poetic, and hopeful speech. Bill Kristol, it's nice to have a president again, he tweeted. Nice to have a president. Finally, David Leopold, Biden showing America something it hasn't had since COVID-19 attacked us, a compassionate president leading the nation. See, it's just like Chuck Schumer says about the border disaster. Well, finally, look, let's just give the Biden administration some time. Never mind what's happening at the border. Finally, we've got a compassionate president in place. So, I mean, it's like last summer. Now you have all of the propaganda media types out there saying, look, never mind the building that's burning down behind me. This is peaceful. This is compassionate. This is hopeful. This is positive. This is leadership. This is finally we have an adult in the room. Now, they were saying all those things last year about Andrew Cuomo, remember? He was a voice of sanity and compassion. He was getting the truth out there. He was presenting the facts with his daily briefings. Even as he was sending all of those sick patients into the nursing homes, and thousands upon thousands were dying. Well, we can't send them to the Javits Center. We can't send them to the Navy vessel because those were supplied by Trump, and he's evil. So send them, not just send them, order them. Order the nursing homes to take in the sick patients. And then just call it compassion. Call it leadership. The only adult in the room. Here's how Joe Biden opened his speech last night, clip one.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about where we are as we mark 1 year since everything stopped because of this pandemic. A year ago, we were hit with a virus that was met with silence and spread unchecked. Denials for days, weeks, then months. That led to more deaths, more infections, more stress, and more loneliness.
Silence and denials that went on for how long? Days, weeks, even months? Silence. I guess back then, Dr. Fauci didn't do anything. Dr. Fauci worked for Trump. Now he works for Biden. But it's all Donald Trump. And what was Donald Trump doing last year at this time? On Fauci's advice, he was locking it down. In fact, you go back to January, even against Fauci's advice, and Donald Trump instituted the travel ban coming from China. People flying from China can't do it anymore. Look, this sickness is going around. So that was at the last bit of January. I think it was the last day of January. And you know what Biden tweeted out the next? Biden, by the way, his campaign, they continued with their campaign. You know, the car honking campaign and the hula hoop campaign, that came later in the year. But back in March, Biden and his campaign, they were out. He was out in town halls with loads of people. So who met this pandemic with silence? Donald Trump instituted the travel ban late January 2020. And here's what Joe Biden himself tweeted out the next day. This is the day after Trump instituted the travel ban. He said, "We are in the midst of a crisis with the coronavirus. We need to lead the way with science, not Donald Trump's record of hysteria, xenophobia, and fear-mongering. He is the worst possible person to lead our country through a global health emergency. Look, we've got to be led by the science. We can't. And now, after months after this, they tried to say, well, we weren't talking exactly about the China travel ban. His spokesperson, I think it was September or October of last year, came out and said, well, he wasn't really against the travel ban. And Brett Baer says, oh, well, were you for it? Well, the record shows he wasn't against it. You see, they had to kind of somehow straddle the fence. They couldn't say, look, Trump was doing something and we were saying that nothing should be done. But they couldn't actually come out and say, yeah, I was all for Trump's travel ban, because that would be agreeing with Donald Trump. He said it was xenophobic. It was racist. And then you have Schumer. And then you have Pelosi. All of them, again, rushing to the microphone, saying, hey, go to Chinatown. Go to Chinatown. Look, there's nothing to worry about here. Go out and join the crowds. I could play the clips for you. We have the montages. We played them last year. And in the very first line of the speech, here's the illegitimate president revising the history. He's changing. It's all about the narrative. Never mind the facts. Never mind what actually happened. Not one comment, not one statement of congratulations or thanks. Look, President Trump, you have to give him credit. Operation Warp Speed, I mean, it did produce those vaccines in 9 months. Usually it takes 10 or 12 years. And the vaccines, they were all there, weren't they? And these big pharma companies, they hold off on the announcements until right after the election, steal. And then wouldn't you know it, Pfizer and all these companies, yeah, we do have the vaccine. It is done. And millions were getting the vaccine before January the 20th. And you, if you're listening to the speech last night, and if you only watch CNN, you come away from it thinking, well, Donald Trump did nothing all through 2020, and Joe Biden has done everything. Can you believe this? A lot of people believe it. Here's what Chuck Schumer said, by the way, about the crisis at the border. We talked some on this yesterday. But here is this disaster. You've got the lieutenant governor down in Texas saying it's the worst he's ever seen. And so Schumer's on one of the shows yesterday, and he's asked by someone that, well, look, you were critical of Donald Trump. Where's your criticism of Joe Biden? And here's how Schumer responded, clip 12.
Let me just say this. Joe Biden inherited a huge mess on immigration, and it's not going to be cleaned up in a month. He's only been in office, you know, since January 20th, about 6 weeks, I guess it is. But he's different. His view of immigration is not like Donald Trump's, who was nasty, negative, horrible to immigrants.
Nasty, negative, horrible. Donald Trump had stopped the flow of illegal immigration. He was building the wall. He had hundreds of miles of fence that had gone up during his 4 years. Even against all of this resistance, even from the Republican Party. But he was nasty. He was negative. And so we're going to get the mess that Joe Biden inherited. Look, we've got to give him months and months to sort this out. We don't want to dare criticize Joe Biden because he's a compassionate leader. He gets in on January the 20th, opens the borders in the south of Texas, Arizona, all those border states, closes the borders in D.C., but that's another story. Opens the borders, and children by the thousands from Central and South America streaming into the United States and ushered into the cages. But all of this, that too, you can blame that on the bad orange man. Coming back to the speech from last night, this is Joe Biden, clip 2.
Now, because all the work we've done
we'll have enough vaccine supply for all adults in America by the end of May. That's months ahead of schedule.
Because of what we've done, he's taking credit for it. It's unbelievable. Because of what we've done, we've got all of these. Earlier this year, he said his goal was to get people, a million people a day vaccinated. And that was happening before January the 20th. So he comes in, he's riding on the wave that was set for him by Donald Trump. And then incredibly, last night he takes credit for Donald Trump's work. Now, this is a man who has a long history of plagiarism. Let's be honest. You can go back to the early 90s. He's run for president over and over again, and he loves taking speeches that other people give and using it as his own. Here's another example of it. He took the work of Donald Trump, and look, you know where we stand on the vaccinations, and I'll get to that in just a second. But leaving that aside for a moment, he took the work of the Trump administration, the progress that he inherited on January the 20th, and then last night, as you just heard, he took credit for it because of the work we've done. Here he is again, last evening, clip 3.
I need you. I need every American to do their part. And that's not hyperbole. I need you. I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity. And to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well. Because here's the point. If we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout or a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. That doesn't mean large events with lots of people together, but it does mean small groups will be able to get together.
There you go. Small groups. Finally, we can get together on July the 4th on Independence Day. If you recall, President Trump got together with 7,000 people at Mount Rushmore last Independence Day. There was no super spreader after that. There was no big crisis of sickness and disease that spread right across South Dakota because of that. There were fireworks. That was a large gathering. But here comes the fake administration, two Americas, and he's there telling his people, you might be able to have a small gathering. We'll see. You got to do your part. Look, we've got to all be all in on this. Masks, double masks. We've got to get the vaccine. We've got to be tested. We've got to do everything. If we do everything that the government wants us to do, then it might be, it just might be that small gatherings can get together on Independence Day. Yesterday on CNN, you had Sanjay Gupta. He's the one. He's one that really contributed to the scaremongering and the panic that grabbed hold of everyone in government to where they took this extreme action a year ago today, or tomorrow, or yesterday, or right around that time. And here he gets up last night and says it was met with silence. Well, it was met with the most heavy-handed government crackdown that the United States of America has ever seen. Never seen anything like it. And it was all to try to stop the spread. And the 15 days, what did it turn into? 15 months. Takes us right to July 4th, 2021. And we're not even sure about that. It could be we have to crack down again, said Joe Biden last night. So you had this new variant that led to another lockdown in the UK over the last couple of months, spread down into South Africa. It ran its course there. And you had Sanjay Gupta on CNN yesterday trying to explain how that all of these cases have basically gone away, and yet nobody there in South Africa has gotten the vaccine Or, I mean, it's been just such a small, small percentage. Here's the CNN doctor last night explaining why it is the way it is in South Africa. Clip 11.
If we can show South Africa for a second, South Africa is circulating one of the most concerning variants that people have been talking about for some time, B1351. Look at what has happened there. They had this, they first detected it in October of 2020, huge surge, as you can see there, their biggest surge, and now it's come way, way down. Less than 1% of the country, John, has been vaccinated. So again, that steep decline is not because of vaccines. That is another reminder, even with one of these concerning variants, that basic public health measures work. So we want the vaccine. We want science to rescue us. But South Africa should remind us of what is possible even without those vaccines.
We want the vaccine. We want science to rescue us, he says. Even as he points to a chart showing that it's now gone from South Africa and less than 1% of the people have gotten the vaccine in South Africa. So, but just listen to the science. Well, the science says it's gone. It's over. Still got to get the vaccine, though. We've got to do our part. And then maybe the small gathering. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe the small gathering. You can see where this is leading. They shamed you into wearing the mask. People are going to be shamed into getting the vaccine. You have to get it. Listen to these former presidents talking about the necessity. You have to get this so that we can finally go and visit grandma. Here's clip 5.
Now the COVID-19 vaccines are available to millions of Americans, and soon they will be available to everyone.
This vaccine means hope. It will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease.
I want to go back to work and I want to be able to move around.
To visit with Michelle's mom, to hug her and see her on her birthday.
You know what I'm really looking forward to is going to opening day in Texas Rangers Stadium with a full stadium.
Yeah, well, that's already happening because Texas has lifted the lockdown ban or the lockdown measures. The face mask, all of that's gone, and they've announced that sports can return to normal with full stadiums. But the pressure, you see, the pressure coming from these leaders, these authorities, these scientists, Dr. Fauci, now it's the vaccine. A few months ago, you got to get tested. A few months before that, you've got to wear the mask. Then you got to have another mask. You know, we're trying to travel back to the UK. We will here in the next week or so. And to get into the UK, you have, before you fly out of the US, you've got to get the COVID-19 test. You know, it's $100-$200 here at a drugstore. You've got to get the COVID test. Then you've got to agree to take the test again on day 2 of your visit to the UK. And then again on day 8. So 3 COVID tests. I don't know who pays for it over in the UK. But, I mean, this is huge for Big Pharma. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars. And even if the vaccines are supposedly free, how much money is the government paying Pfizer and Moderna and these companies? It amounts to billions. And Joe Biden last night talking about these two Big Pharma companies coming together. They're working together. They're competitors. What a sacrifice they're making. To come together and to work with each other. Sacrifice? They are lining their pockets with millions, billions of dollars. And if truth be told, Fauci's benefiting from this, Bill Gates, all of them, that'll come out at some point. They're all in it together. No wonder they're pushing it so hard. You got to pay for the test. Who pays for the vaccine? You got to buy the mask. You got to do all this stuff. Even as, what did we see in South Africa? Okay, it came through this second phase, and now it's gone. Just like the flu. It comes through, and then it's gone. And here are all of the presidents, the former presidents. They're spot on. Joe Biden, he's spot on. He's got the compassion. He's all for the vaccine. And in fact, Donald Trump was as well. But he doesn't count. He just sat there silently, never had a press conference, never gave a speech, never talked about the vaccine, never talked about COVID-19, nothing. It was like he was just absent all last year. That's what they're saying. I mean, the truth is cast to the ground. The truth, it fails. Shaming Americans into getting the vaccine. Listen to Katie Tour. She's evidently, she's 7 months pregnant. She didn't like the idea of getting the vaccine because of that, but she went ahead and did it. And then she's on TV telling the world about it. Clip six.
As a pregnant lady, I'm 7 months now. Once upon a time, I thought that I would probably be at the very back of the line, that I wouldn't get this vaccine until I had the baby. But after a COVID scare recently at my own house and conversations with several doctors, including my next guest, I signed up and today I got stuck. There's my card.
She got stuck. There's her card. You know what they want? They want the vaccine passport. They're pushing for it in a lot of nations in Europe as well. You know, okay, if you're not going to get the vaccine, then you're not going to be able to do some things. You hear the tone? We've all got to do this, or else we might have to reimpose these lockdown measures. That's what Joe Biden said last night. And here he is assuring you that if you just listen to Dr. Fauci, everything will be okay. Clip four.
So my message to you is this. Listen to Dr. Fauci, one of the most distinguished and trusted voices in the world. He's assured us the vaccines are safe. They underwent rigorous scientific review. I know they're safe.
He knows they're safe. Dr. Fauci knows they're safe. Who developed it, by the way? And did Fauci work with Donald Trump to get these vaccines up and running last year? Of course he did. So now here they are, they're saying it's safe. You've got a pregnant woman on TV. Never mind the cases of miscarriages that have happened after taking the vaccine. 35 known cases at least. And we're just starting. We are just starting, and yet, are you going to hear, even on conservative media, are you going to hear anything? Are you going to hear anything in propaganda media about the side effects? This is from the actor and comedian Ben Stein. I'm not sure how old he is, but he got the vaccination. And listen to him describe his experience. Clip nine.
A word of warning to you, my fellow Americans, or whatever you are. I had the COVID booster, the Moderna, about 4 or 5 days ago, and I am still feeling wild side effects from it. Like I had the worst flu in the world, extreme shortness of breath, a dizziness, fatigue, extremely irrational thinking. It has just been devastating. I'm glad I got it, sort of glad. I don't know, a little bit glad and also not quite so glad, but it has just got to be told to the people, us people, that this booster is a killer. I mean, it's not going to kill you literally, but it is very, very strong. Beware.
No, thank you. I'd rather not. I'd rather not have the booster. The booster? A booster that gives you irrational thinking? That gives you the worst flu you've ever had? This is what we want to inject into our systems? That's Ben Stein giving you a little bit of truth. I wonder if that little video is on YouTube, or if it gets on YouTube, I wonder how long it would stay there. You know how they work. If it goes against Fauci, we've got to delete it. Never mind facts. I mean, that's his is a case study, right? He took it. And this is how his body reacted. So he's telling everyone, look, it's a killer. Well, now, I don't know if it's an actual killer, but I mean, this booster, here's how I reacted to it. You know what? In some cases, it is. It is literally a killer. Listen to this report coming out of Salt Lake City. A local news outfit talking about the vaccines. Clip 10.
9 to 10. Okay, last week we brought you an investigation into COVID vaccine side effects and where to report them. During that investigation, we found four reported deaths filed by Utah families and their caregivers.
One particular case stood out to us, a 39-year-old single mom from Ogden with no known pre-existing conditions. Her family sat down with me this weekend as they were saying their final goodbyes. And while they're not against vaccines, they do believe information is power as we all make our own medical decisions.
I really didn't cry when my dad died. I cry a lot for her. And I'm at a stage in my life where I'm okay with that.
Alfred Holly is a retired fighter pilot, a military man who's known risk and loss and taken it all in stride until now.
She's the one that had promised to take care of me when I was old.
The death of his youngest daughter, Cassidy, came out of nowhere 4 days after her second dose of the COVID vaccine.
She came in early and said that her heart was racing.
Cassidy and her 9-year-old daughter lived with her parents.
She got sick right away.
She got sick right away. And right at the start of that report, did you hear it? This local reporter saying at least four people in Utah, just the state of Utah, have died because of this vaccine. You know, another side note to this report is that the medical authorities are saying, well, now we're not going to reveal the results of the autopsy because of privacy concerns. See, when it doesn't fit within their narrative, then all of a sudden they're very concerned about privacy, about individual rights, that sort of thing. But I mean, if it fits the narrative, what about the autopsy on Sicknick? That's another story altogether. He's cremated right away. We still don't know. We still don't know exactly how that he died. If we started keeping track of vaccine deaths the way that they kept track of COVID deaths, remember, all you had to do is die with COVID. Okay, so if it was heart disease, if it was a stroke, if it was whatever, if you had COVID, you're a COVID death. Well, how about the same? How about the same standard for anyone and everyone that takes the vaccine shot? If you died days later of a heart disease or a stroke, and you got the vaccine, well, you died with the vaccine, did you not? Four people in Utah alone, 35 reported miscarriages. How much coverage do you think this will get in the propaganda media? People are dying, okay? People are dying because of the vaccine. And here's the fake president of the United States last night saying it is totally safe. Dr. Fauci said so. He says it's safe, so you should take it. And if you all take it, if you all obey the rules, then maybe you can have that small gathering on July the 4th. Here he is, one last clip of the speech last night. Joe Biden pleading for the people of the United States to stay vigilant. Clip 7.
Because if we don't stay vigilant and the conditions change, then we may have to reinstate restrictions to get back on track. And please, we don't want to do that again.
If you don't do what we say, we may have to reinstate all of those restrictions. Happy anniversary, America. 1 year on from the lockdowns that resulted from this pandemic. COVID-19. When we come back, we'll get into our study on that anniversary, as I mentioned at the top, the March 11th, 1989 date that we want to remember. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can email the program, td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
I'm speaking to you from our television studios in Pasadena, where I speak to the world as a voice crying out in the wilderness of modern religious confusion.
Herbert W. Armstrong was the world's leading televangelist and one of the most prominent religious leaders of the 20th century. Watched, read, and followed by millions worldwide. But his legacy of Bible-based humanitarianism came under attack after he died. The cabal of leaders who took control of the church he founded, after pledging to follow in his footsteps, methodically destroyed all he had built. Those who would stop them were silenced or excommunicated. This shocking story of betrayal and deception is told in Raising the Ruins. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
My father had an article that's coming out in the Pastor General's report this weekend. The 1150 days remind us, he's talking about a prophecy in Daniel 8, but he says it reminds us to put our hearts in the work. So if you go back to Herbert Armstrong's death, January the 16th, 1986, and you look at what happened to that church, truth cast to the ground, the work of God stopping because of transgression, lawlessness, as Daniel 8 brings out. And this continued. And how long did God allow for it to continue? It went on for 1,150 days until March 11th, 1989, when God started to reveal what was happening in the true church of God, when God started to reveal the solution to all of the problems, to all of the deceit, to the work stopping. 1,150 days on, it brought us right to March 11th, 1989, and a few months after that, I read the manuscript. I was the first one to read that manuscript that my father produced. July 16th, 1989. And then, of course, later that year, my father was fired along with John Amos, his assistant, because of what is written in Malachi's message. And as I was telling the students yesterday, you look at all that has happened since 32 years. You look around this campus, you look at the facilities, you look at the House of God, you look at the Hall of Administration, you look at these facilities, you look at our sister campus at Edstone. And despite all of that ruin and destruction, God has taken care of his people. God has raised the ruins. The work continues. The work has continued. Let's look at this prophecy in Daniel 8. Daniel 8. And verse 9, it says, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great and even to the host of heaven," it says. "And it cast some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them." So God's talking here about a great spiritual war going on. And it says in verse 11, "Yes, he magnified himself, even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice," or the daily, "was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down." God's work, it was taken away because people stopped. They stopped being measured by God. They stopped doing the work. They turned to lawlessness and sin. Their love, as Matthew 24 says, their love waxed cold. This all happened in God's church. Many of us lived through it. It says in verse 12, "And an host was given him against the daily by reason of transgression." That's the cause. It was brought on because of transgression. It says, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced, and it prospered. See, in the first segment, I talked about the truth. How that the truth, facts, it does not matter. Only the narrative. And we went through a bit of that 32 years ago. We went through that in 1986, 87, 88, 89. As we saw these church representatives, these ministers, get up or say from the pulpit or write in the church publications, this is what's happening. Here's why we discontinued Mystery of the Ages. I mean, there was a few little mistakes in it, but really it's costly, and all of the teachings that you get in Mystery of the Ages, you can find it in other material. So it's really no big deal. Hey, this is going to save the work a ton of money. They lied. They tried to conceal their true intentions. They wanted to bury the truth. And they were getting away with it. And there were some of us crying out, how long is this going to continue? What is happening to the church? Why so many lies and deception? Well, God had a response. And after 1,150 days, the work, it continued. Verse 13, it says, then I heard one saint speaking. Well, by reason of transgression, verse 12 says, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced, and it prospered. And then verse 13 says, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spoke, how long shall the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? How long is this going to continue? God's people are being trampled on. The truth is being buried. And it says in verse 14, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. In fact, the meaning there is 1,150 days. The 2,300 refers to the sacrifices, and there was a morning and an evening sacrifice. So in total, it was 1,150 days that this went on before God took dramatic and decisive action. And it started small. It always does when God works through human beings. It was a mustard seed beginning. It started just with one individual who yielded to God and received the truth about what was happening in the church and started to write it down. And it became a manuscript and then eventually a book, Malachi's Message. In Malachi 2, verse 1, you can study some of these verses we'll read here. In Malachi's Message, this passage about Levi, a type of Herbert Armstrong. Notice verse 1 of Malachi 2. It says, and now, O you priests, or you ministers, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, says the Eternal of Hosts, I will even send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. So God's talking here about a ministry that went astray. Leadership. Leadership that goes astray, that leads the people astray. We see a lot of that in the world today, don't we? We saw it in the Church of God. Verse 4, it says, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says the Lord of Hosts. See, God made a covenant with Levi, the father of the priesthood. He made a covenant with Herbert Armstrong. And so that's something that we can anchor to. That's a foundation that we can build on. It says in verse 5, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. So this is Levi's character. He feared God. He trusted God. He followed God. And so if you study, in the case of Herbert Armstrong, if you study this man's life, and you can do that with his autobiography or his writings like Mystery of the Ages, if you really dig into it, what you see there is a great example, a tremendous example of someone who feared God. Godly fear. You see a lot of fear in the world today. Fear of men, fear of catastrophe, worries, fears. And you see very little fear of God. What does God think? What does God think? As we had several programs a year ago, as we told you what God says about sickness and disease. We've told you what God thinks about putting sickness and disease into your body to supposedly fight off sickness and disease. That's not the way God's laws work. That's not something God supports. So what does God think about quarantine? Who should be quarantined? All of these things, very different from what we've seen over the past year. Verse 6, it says, the law of truth was in his mouth. Think about that. The truth, there's a law of truth. And it was in Levi's mouth. It was in Herbert Armstrong's mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity, or many away from sin. He turned people away from sin. The ministers that followed him after his death, they turned people to sin, to lawlessness, to transgression, as we read in Daniel 8. It says in verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. See, a minister, a true minister of Christ, should keep or guard the truth, guard the law of truth. The law of truth was in his mouth. He guarded it. He fought for it. He didn't let it go. Those Laodicean ministers, though, following Herbert Armstrong's death, they very quickly silenced Herbert Armstrong, like my father told me early on in 1989, following the discontinuation of Mystery of the Ages. They removed it from circulation and they threw away the excess copies. They wanted to destroy it. We learned that later during the 6 years of litigation that resulted in us winning Mystery of the Ages, the rights to it. And now we have it. Now we distribute it. Now that law of truth goes out freely. But they wanted to bury it. They wanted to cancel it. We know a little bit about cancel culture in the spiritual sense. Jody Koch Jr. said he had a Christian duty to keep Mystery of the Ages out of print. He had a duty, never mind, even the laws of the land, the United States, free speech and such. He had a higher calling to try to keep you from reading Mystery of the Ages. And you see that same spirit today. This greater good. Revise the history, retell it, establish the narrative, blot out any dissent, anyone that disagrees with you. You know, Piers Morgan, I played that for you yesterday, sticking to his guns and the comments he had about Meghan Markle. And he said, following that interview on Sunday, he said, look, I don't believe a word she says. I wouldn't believe a weather report coming from that woman. And she really is. I mean, she's a type of a lot of what we see in the world today. There's a lot of Meghan Markles in the world today where you look at them, you listen to them, and you can't believe or trust even one thing they say. The first thing that comes out of that speech last night, the very first statement, it was met with silence, and that's a total lie. It's a total lie, and we're talking about history that just goes back 12 months, not 12 years, not 12 decades. They're almost revising it in real time. as I say, we're somewhat familiar with that thinking, that derangement. There's a father of lies in the world today, isn't there? John 8 and verse 44. A father of lies. Here it talks about someone who had the law of truth in his mouth. The priest's lips should guard knowledge, verse 7 says. Verse 8 says, but you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. You ministers, you false ministers, who despise the law of God, who want to bury the truth of God, you're causing God's people to stumble at the law. They didn't want to be measured by God's word anymore. They didn't want to fight to overcome sin and the ways of sin. They wanted to just join the world. They wanted to just do their own thing. They turned to lawlessness and transgression. And what happened? What happened to the worldwide church of God as a result? Well, the work stopped. The World Tomorrow program ended. The plain truth, gone. Ambassador College, over in the mid-1990s. Stop obeying God and the work stops. That's what we witnessed. That's what we lived through. And when you start obeying God, even if it's a mustard seed beginning, and this is what I was telling the students yesterday, then God is with you. Then God will bless you. God will bless you with growth, as you've seen in this church, in this work. The early 1990s there, as we were primarily working to just get Malachi's message out to as many of those Laodicean brethren as possible so that they could understand the truth about what was happening in God's church. And then as the work continued to grow and as we got into 1996, we realized, look, we have a mission to reach the largest audience possible with Mystery of the Ages, with Mr. Armstrong's teachings. He had the law of truth, after all. And we can look at a used bookstore and try to find some old copies somewhere. But we want to get this to thousands. We want to get this to millions. And so we started printing Mystery of the Ages in late 1996, early 1997. The Worldwide Church of God filed its lawsuit. And for 6 years, we fought it. And during that time, we were, you know, conducting camps for young people. We were on television with God's message. We purchased this property here in central Oklahoma, 170 acres. We started building our field house, thinking about establishing a college. The college opened in 2001. Very small, but it opened. We won Mystery of the Ages in 2003. Finished the Hall of Ad in 2005, had our first senior class in 2006, broke ground on the auditorium, the House of God, in 2008, finished that project in 2010, had all of these digs and excavations going on in Jerusalem, 2012, 2013, purchased the Edstone campus in 2014, started our KPCG radio station in 2015, 2017, you've got the G450, the church plane, all the new revelation about the new throne and stone. God has been with this work from the beginning. And that's why this work is where it is today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email us, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.